for argument is United States against Lewis. Mr. Zukowski.
May it please the court, counsel. Your Honor, I am William Zukowski. I'm with the Federal Public Defender's Office, Central District of Illinois. I'm here representing defendant appellant Valerian Lewis. And we are here requesting the court to reverse the sentence imposed and remand to the district court with directions to resentence Mr. Lewis without any sentence enhancement based upon his prior 2002 felony drug conviction. Your Honor, we essentially are asking this court to extend Savalas, which held that noncompliance with Section 851 is not a matter of subject, is not divest the court, district court, of subject matter jurisdiction, but it still divests the court of the authority to impose an enhanced sentence unless the government first files an information under Section 851 in writing, served and filed on the defendant, which specifically states that it intends to seek a...
Well, we are here on, most favorably to you, plain error review. The prosecutor argues that there's been waiver, right? But let's just take the position most favorable to you, which is that we're here on plain error review. Why is there plain error? One component of plain error, of course, is prejudice. And I'm having some difficulty seeing prejudice in what actually happened compared with what would have happened if the prosecutor had filed the information before trial.
Your Honor, you're asking a question on prejudice as opposed to complying with the statute itself.
It's perfectly obvious the prosecutor didn't comply with the statute, right? So here we are. Had there been an objection, you doubtless would have prevailed in the district court. There wasn't. We're here on plain error review. At best, right, we'll talk later about whether there's been waiver. Why is there prejudice compared to the position that Lewis would have been in had the prosecutor filed a piece of paper with the caption, information, here's the prior?
Your Honor, the prejudice is that the court did not have authority and a sentence was imposed that, beyond the court's authority.
I'm trying to be clear what I mean by prejudice. I mean, how is the defendant worse off than he would have been had the prosecutor complied punctiliously with 851?
Your Honor, I would have to say that if the prosecutor had filed the 851 and the case proceeded as it did, then there would be no prejudice.
But there isn't any prejudice, Your
Honor. Pardon me, Your Honor.
There isn't any prejudice. He knew he had a prior, and it was the subject of the 404B discussion in the district court.
Well, Your Honor, the prejudice in that regard would come that since the sentence was imposed without authority because the government did not comply with 851, that the court could not then use the mandatory minimum of 240 months, but would have.
That's not an argument for prejudice. That's an argument for a gotcha. Right? Prejudice means the difference between what happened to the defendant and what would have happened had all his rights been respected. He had a right to a formal notice. And what one can understand by prejudice here is that he made some strategic decision that he wouldn't have made had he known that the prosecutor was going to ask for the advance, for the enhancement. But apparently you agree that there was no strategic or tactical decision that he made in ignorance that he would have made differently had he had this piece of paper before him.
Well, Your Honor, and perhaps that goes to what precedential effect a decision in this case could have on future cases, and that is there is value to an actual written piece of paper that the defense counsel receives that has been filed and served upon them by the government that specifically lays it out.
That would have been important if you was pleading guilty here, but you have a 3A trial. I just don't see where you're going here. If he pleads guilty without this information being filed, that's one thing. probably would only get to withdraw his guilty plea then, but I don't know, just...
That, of course, is why the notice has to be filed before the man pleads guilty, right? He could be here saying, I pleaded guilty, thinking that I could get as few as 10 years, and now I've been trapped. But there was no such reliance interest. That's the problem.
Your Honor, our basic argument, obviously, is that it was not waived because defense counsel did not know, and nobody actually realized the 851 was not filed. But our basic argument is that, Your Honor, this is a congressional decision. 851 is Congress enacted 851.
Yeah, obviously, 851 has been violated, but plain error review is something other than saying, was some rule violated, therefore the defendant wins. It's got, well, I think three components more than that. In addition to the prejudice component, there's also a judicial discretion component. Is the judiciary going to be drawn into disrepute by allowing somebody to be given the sentence that was his lawful due? I mean, that's another element of plain error review.
I do understand your question, Your Honor, and I think you understand that we can only, you know, our position is that the court lacked authority to impose that sentence. And had the court realized it at the time of sentencing, I believe, if an objection had been made at the time of sentencing, that the court would have actually realized that it did not have the authority to at least apply a 240 mandatory minimum, and therefore that would have affected the guideline range. And it, guideline sentence, but not.
Think, by the way, there would have been any problem if the judge, if the proper motion had been made. You think there would have been any problem if the judge had said, well, it's true, I am not compelled to give Lewis 20 years, but nonetheless, taking into account the fact that he has this prior offense, I'm giving him 20 years, right? He had the authority to give Lewis 20 years. You're not denying that that was a lawful sentence with or without this 851.
No, he had the authority to impose
a... He did not have a legal compulsion to give 20 years, but he certainly had the authority to give 20 years.
Well, he had the general authority to give 20 years. However, he did not have the authority to enhance the sentence essentially from 10 to 20 based upon the felony. Certainly upon, well, the jury finding of 5 kilograms is by application of the statute took out of 1B into 1A. But as far as enhancing the sentence and applying a different mandatory minimum when then affecting the guideline range, it did not have the authority to do that. Your Honor, I see I'm already into my rebuttal time. If no other questions at this time, I'll reserve that.
Certainly, counsel.
Thank you.
Mr. Miller.
May it please the court, counsel. I'm Eugene Miller on behalf of the United States. We do request that the court affirm the sentence of the district court. Referred to the lack of compliance with 851, and certainly the United States wishes it would, in this case, go back and file that differently. But the question here, of course, is under the court's jurisprudence.
Is there some reason why the United States Attorney's offices in this circuit, and it appears to be nationwide, just routinely bollocks up this statute? It's the most simple statute you can imagine. You'd think there would be something on your computer that every time there's a drug indictment handed down, your computer would put up a box that says, research record of convictions, file 851 information.
You're absolutely right, Your Honor. And we do have a box on our prosecution memo that refers to that. And as this appeal was pending and we read the Jerome Williams case, which we filed a notice of
which
on 20.
Boxed in a different way.
Yes, Your Honor. The time of this appeal, I regretted that very much. This is the first 851 appeal that I've at least been part of in 11 years. And the only answer I can give you in this case is that explanation, I should say, not excuse, is simply that in this case, at every stage of the proceeding, the defendant's prior conviction had been at issue. His detention, defense counsel said, we're aware of the conviction before we filed an 851, which we would routinely do before trial or sentencing. The defense filed a motion laying out his prior conviction and asking for that to be kept out of evidence. We filed a written response. So the defendant did have a piece of paper from the government in front of him detailing his prior conviction. We also, at every stage, stated that he faced increased punishment. We also stated at the final pretrial that if convicted, he would face a sentence of 20 years to life. It was so ubiquitous, I guess, to say that we failed in being brought to our attention that the defendant needed that additional piece of paper under 851, and we apologize to the court that we're here on this. We do believe that, as we laid out in the brief, that under both whether a waiver analysis or under plain error review, that this just is not a case where there's any substantial rights that affected the purposes of 851 to allow him to contest or to give him knowledge of the consequences of his guilty verdict. Both of those were satisfied clearly in this case, and we've laid out the reasons that there was no serious effect on the fairness, integrity, or public reputation of judicial proceedings. So we do ask this court to affirm. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Anything further, Mr. Zukofsky?
Your Honor, I guess just one point on the actual notice that Mr. Lewis knew of his prior felony and the potential penalties were orally pronounced either by the government or the court at the initial proceedings. And I think that also goes to the very heart of whether 851 is essentially going to be abrogated or the government's going to be required to file it, because those were oral pronouncements. They were not in writing, filed, and served. And Your Honor, it essentially would set in motion a procedure where all a good defense counsel has to do is read the statute, which all good defense counsels do read the statute and explain the statute, 841B, the penalties, to the client. And then that suffices. It essentially would eliminate any requirement for the government ever filing an actual notice of intent to seek an enhanced penalty based on that felony. Thank you, Your Honor.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement. Our final case of the day.